Father God, thank you for your words to us. Thank you for this record of the amazing news of your son's resurrection and the saving work that that brings. Please help us to think on this and be having greater confidence in the truth of this this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see if this works. You wouldn't be here if this had happened, hadn't happened. December 1642, Dutch explorer Abel Tasman finds New Zealand and has a fateful encounter with Maori people off Golden Bay. You wouldn't be here if this hadn't happened. 1776, Captain James Cook also finds New Zealand and spends a while charting around it and making maps and so on. You wouldn't be here, probably you wouldn't be here, if this hadn't happened. 1885, Carl Benz has his internal combustion engine, and anyone who came here in a car today is here because of this car here. You wouldn't be here if these things hadn't happened. You may not be interested in them. You may not know much about them. You may actually struggle to believe that they happened. But it doesn't change the fact that their effect is on you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these things. One more. You wouldn't be here today if this hadn't happened. The empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus. The reason that we wouldn't be here today if this hadn't happened is that if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, we wouldn't bother meeting together to talk about him. He'd be a dead fool, a dead liar. The one who said that he was going to rise from the dead, his claims were false. And why would we want to talk about him? If the resurrection hadn't happened, we'd have no guarantees about the good things we heard on Friday about our forgiveness, our hope for the future, our life with God. We wouldn't have those guarantees. As the Apostle Paul says, it's pointless without the resurrection. We wouldn't be here if this hadn't happened. So the stakes are quite high as we think about the resurrection, as we read the story this morning from Matthew 28. The stakes are high. We need to listen. Really not just let it wash over our heads, but think and listen as we consider what happened and whether or not we think it actually happened. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? The story is we have two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, maybe Jesus' mother, coming to see the tomb. They're expecting to see a guarded stone in front of it, tomb of Jesus. They're hoping that they might be able to get in and see his body, maybe finish the job that they had to do a rush on the Friday evening before the Sabbath began to prepare his body. They're expecting to see the one that they loved dead. They're expecting to find his grave, and they're not expecting to find much else. But that's not what they see. What they find is unbelievable. Verse 2, have a look. We have a number of unbelievable things. A violent earthquake, well, that is believable, but so violent that the stone is rolled away from the tomb. A violent earthquake and an angel. Earthquake because of the angel came down from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat in it, going to the tomb. Unbelievable. Unbelievable in his appearance, verse 3. Unbelievable, the living are like dead men. The guards, so afraid of this angel, they shake and become like dead men, lying on the floor. Unbelievable, by the end of the story, verse 9 and 10, the dead man living, Jesus. It's unbelievable. Today is April 1st, it's April Fool's, and it's the day when I'm on high alert, high suspicion. I don't believe anything I see or hear, particularly on the internet. If I was to see this on April 1st, I'd be very suspicious. It's unbelievable. And it doesn't have to be April 1st for these women to be a little bit suspicious. Dead people don't come back to life. The dead stay dead. Yes, we hear stories maybe of people who've come close to death or their hearts have stopped beating for a while and then they've come back. I remember doing my first aid training a year or so ago, and the instructor talked about how you've got people who are dead, and then you can get their, because their hearts have stopped, but you can still resuscitate them and get the heart going again, the blood flowing. But then you get people who are, as he called, dead. There's no chance to restart that heart. There's no coming back. Jesus was dead. He'd been horribly beaten, lacerated. He'd been crucified. He'd been put in the tomb, in a grave, for days. He was dead. And here he is alive. It's unbelievable. People don't do that. No one comes back from the dead. Unbelievable. Yet, it's believable. It is believably good news that Jesus is risen from the dead. Have a look at verse 6. The angel speaks to the women. And in verse 6, he says, "He is not here. He has risen just as he said." It's believable because Jesus said it was going to happen. Turn back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Here's what Matthew 16 verse 21 says. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Turn over a page, chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. "When they came together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life.'" Turn over another page, chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Jesus saying, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." So specific. Three times Jesus said he's going to be handed over, he's going to be killed, and on the third day he's going to be raised to life. And here is the angel saying, on the third day, he's not here, he has risen, just as he said. It's believable because Jesus said it was going to happen. And you think of who Jesus is, and you think of that reading we had from Colossians 1 this morning, and how that describes who Jesus is. Of course it makes sense that what he says happens. He's God. All things are created through him. When he says stuff, it happens. He cannot lie. And Jesus said he was going to be raised on the third day, come back to life. It's believable. And so we can't say, "I don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead because people just don't come back to life from the dead." That doesn't work as an argument because Jesus is different. He's unique. If people coming back from the dead was a common thing, a thing that happened as regularly as, say, a teenager on their computer game comes back from the dead, then there'd be nothing special about Jesus coming back from the dead. Nothing unique about it. The fact that people don't come back from the dead is just further showing to us that Jesus is God. And being God, he can do it. Jesus came back from the dead. It's believable. It's believably good news. And there are four other things springing from this reading and the whole thing about the resurrection of Jesus that can give us confidence to know that it is believable news that Jesus rose from the dead. First thing, it's eyewitness testimony. Mary and Mary saw it happen. They saw the angel, the disciples afterwards, see Jesus. And that is very, very good evidence to have eyewitness testimony, the records of people who saw what they're talking about. In court, that's very important testimony, eyewitness testimony. And nowadays, it's possibly a little bit more difficult for us to accept eyewitness testimony because we're having to say, "I'm happy to trust what someone else's eyes saw, that my own eyes can't see." We live in a world where we want to be able to see anything to be proved to us. If my eyes can see it, then maybe I'll believe it. And we can make our eyes the judges of what is right and what is wrong and what is true and what isn't true and what happened, what didn't happen. We need to learn to trust the eyes of other people. And when they agree and they tell us what happened, then we can trust that that's what happened. We're told in 1 Corinthians that at one time Jesus appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. We can trust what they say happened. It's eyewitness testimony. Secondly, and I'll have to explain this, female testimony. Let me explain that. The story here in verses 28, 1 to 10 of chapter 28 in Matthew, we have the eyewitness testimony of women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. It was women who saw Jesus crucified, women who saw Jesus buried, and women who were the first people to see Jesus risen from the dead. And that's important because it's in an age when this happens that women's testimony, ridiculously, wasn't accepted on the same level of as male testimony. It's very wrong, but that's what happened. And you have Jewish sources saying things like, if a woman's speaking as a witness in court, so you can't really believe what they're saying because they're probably lying. It's incredible. It's wrong. But isn't that age where we're having this? And it's not very different to not very long ago in our age. At the in the UK at the moment, they're remembering 100 years since the wonderful granting of women's suffrage, women getting the vote in the UK, which, yes, I know, came after New Zealand. And again, all the arguments happening back then were, well, they didn't think that women could be trustworthy with voting the right way. They were gullible or suggestible, and that's so wrong. So if the apostles, the disciples, were trying to fabricate a story, to pretend that Jesus had risen from the dead, if they're trying to make it up, it doesn't make much sense to make it up by having your key witnesses being women. Yes, that culture was wrong. But if you're going to make it up, why would you have female testimony so important? So that's another reason why we should say that this is believably good news. Next thing is that the resurrection of Jesus is debatable. It's debatable. People are saying that Jesus has risen from the dead, and people could have, if it was wrong, proved it wrong. The next part of Matthew 28, you can skim down, is a story where the guards go and tell the authorities what's happened, and the authorities come up with an alternative story, a bit of fake news, to say that Jesus' body had been stolen. The burden of proof was on them. They just had to show Jesus' body, to show that, no, he's not back from the dead. He's still dead. He's here. But they didn't. It was debatable news. It could have been shown that Jesus' resurrection hadn't happened, but it wasn't. We can believe that it did happen. And finally, the testimony to Jesus' resurrection was deadly. See Jesus speaking here to these women and to the disciples afterwards. I think of it kind of like in Treasure Island when you've got the black spot, the death sentence. Jesus is handing a death sentence to the disciples by appearing to them because they were killed for saying that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were killed for it. It was deadly. And would they have died for a lie? I read a quote this week from Charles Colson in America talking about the Watergate scandal. If you can remember that, Richard Nixon and a little bit of trouble there in politics. And he says that that was evidence for him to believe that the resurrection happened, because if the 12 of the most powerful men in the world had a lie and couldn't keep that lie for a matter of days because of the trouble that they were getting in, how would you expect 12 fishermen to hold on to a lie all their lives about Jesus' resurrection? With all the pressure that they were put under, how deadly this testimony was, they stuck to it because they were dying for a fact. You get many people who die for an idea or for an important figure. And yes, they were dying for Jesus. Yes, they were dying for the ideas that Jesus taught. But they're dying for a fact. They had seen Jesus risen from the dead. So we can trust it. We can say that this is believably good news, that Jesus is risen, just as he said. It is great news. Fantastically good news. Jesus is risen from the dead. It's such great news that many of the stories that we have around today just copy that news. Watch films, read books, and you'll see this story of a death, a sacrificial death, and a resurrection. It is copied. Sorry for the spoilers, but The Lord of the Rings, The Chronicles of Narnia, Harry Potter, they all do it. Lego Movie, Batman, they all do it. You could go on and on and on. They're copying the best news ever. that death has been conquered. Death has been beaten. And what that means for us is something very important, which comes twice in this story. The angel and Jesus say the same two commands to the women. They say, do not be afraid, go and tell. Don't be afraid, verse 5 and verse 10, don't be afraid. Go and tell. The angel says it, Jesus says it, don't be afraid, it's good news. Now many people fear death. Maybe all of us, we are afraid of dying. And that fear motivates our actions, it restrains our actions, and we make decisions based on that fear of death and dying, in ourselves or for others. It's a powerful thing. And here we see someone who's conquered death. You fear something because of its power. And here is someone who's even more powerful than death because he's conquered it. If I was out in the open sea and I see a fin making its way coming towards me, I'd be scared. If I then saw a really big fin, an even bigger fin, come and attack the smaller fin, I'd still be scared. And here is Jesus. He's conquered death. It's perfectly natural to be afraid because we fear death, and here's the one who's even more powerful than death. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. His great power, which we read about in Colossians 1 as well, yes, is right for us to fear, but Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. He is good. It is good news for us that he has conquered death. He has risen again, appearing not as some kind of mystical ghost, but really there in the flesh, in a body that will not die again, giving us hope that we will not be beaten by death. Death will not be the end for us. He is there and he is good, and he rules over creation. And we can know that it's good news. We do not need to be afraid of serving him. And he is there, it is true. We do not need to be afraid of going and telling others about him, because it's true. Don't be afraid. Go and tell. One more illustration. Imagine you've eaten too much cheese and you're having a weird dream. In your dream, you're back at school. And for some reason, they've picked you for the school rugby team. And you're there at the field and you're playing against another school's rugby team, and they're all much taller and all much stronger than you are and much faster. And you're afraid. And a helicopter lands, it's Richie McCaw delivering some milk and wearing your uniform. He's going to play for your team. And he says to you, don't be afraid. I've got this. Here is Jesus, risen from the dead, conquered death. And he comes for us and he says, don't be afraid. I've got this. What will we do? Let's pray.